Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
It's going to test you. Every deal will, but some deals worse than others. So you got to kind of look at a bigger picture than just one deal. Because if it's just one deal that you're in, I don't think that this industry is for you.
If you're a passive investor wanting to learn more about questions to ask sponsors in order to qualify the opportunities, in order to qualify the sponsor, in order to qualify the market that the property is in, then go to besteverpassiveinvestor.com. My team and I created this site just for you so that there is a free resource available to you to learn about the questions to ask, the things to think through prior to investing in deals. So go to besteverpassiveinvestor.com. It's a free resource for you that was made just for you. Best ever listeners, how you doing? Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless. This is the world's longest running daily real estate investing podcast where we only talk about the best advice ever. We don't get into any of that fluffy stuff. With us today, Alex Holt. How you doing, Alex?
I'm good. And you, Joe?
I'm doing really well and looking forward to our conversation. A little bit about Alex. He's the owner of Buying Cincinnati Houses. He's done over 10 deals with no cash out of pocket, and he's completed several land contract deals that where he was able to flip with little more than just sweat equity based in Cincinnati, Ohio. So with that being said, Alex, you want to give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and your current focus?
Yeah, like Joe said, my name is Alex Holt. I've been in real estate 4 to 5 years. I got started just pretty much off of sweat equity and just trying to learn whatever I could and soak up knowledge. Land contracts, seller finance, things like that have been a big interest of mine. And the next focus for my real estate company is to acquire more buy and hold and to acquire more investors for our flip properties and ramp up the construction side as well.
So let's dig into the deals that you've done. I introduced you by saying you've done over 10 deals with no cash out of pocket. Let's talk about the first one. We'll go from there. What was the first deal?
First deal I've ever done, I traded the down payment for a landscaping project. It was on the west side of Cincinnati. What we pretty much did was it was $3,500 down. It was a land contract. And pretty much what I did was the owner of the property needed landscaping services at a bunch of different properties. So what I did was I was able to trade my landscaping services for that to get me in the door, which was around $3,500. So we were able to trade that and put the rest of it on monthly payments. So that deal, we kind of went in, and it was a little bit too much for me at the time because I had little to no cash for reserves. So we ended up getting in over our head on that one, but I ended up being able to sell it later to break even. But I learned a lot.
So you have a landscaping company, right?
Correct.
Okay, so did you propose to the individual that you do that trade of services for a $3,500 down payment?
Yeah, I did, because at the time I knew that she had the property, and I'm like, man, I'm itching to get started, and she needed the services really bad, and I'm like, why not just use this for the down payment to acquire the property?
Was there any initial pushback?
Not really, because they still made money off the deal. They were already big investors, so for them, it was kind of like a win-win, like, hey, I don't have to pay him the cash that I would have had to pay him to do the service. So it was actually pretty smooth.
Okay. And you said you didn't have the cash reserve, so you sold that property versus holding on to it. Can you tell us a little bit more about the structure, like how much you were needing to pay each month and what your plan was for the property before you sold it?
Yeah, so on that particular property, what I was thinking, I actually had a partner. I actually brought my mom in on that deal, and I forgot about that. I just thought about that. I brought my mom in for a little bit more security because at the time I was not sure. So pretty much what we did, it was a duplex in a rougher part of the city. Our monthly payments were, I think, principal and interest and even taxes. I think it was like $325 or $360 a month. So we did that for probably 6 months to a year. It's a little vague now, but it was somewhere between 6 months to a year, and it just got to be too much. We used our contractors, and every contract we got was like $20,000 to do this and finish it up, and at that time, it was just an uphill battle.
And how much did you have the contract for purchasing it?
I believe it was $17,500, including the down payment, so I believe it was somewhere like that. And then okay. The monthly payments, like I said, it was after that.
All right, so $17,500 to purchase it, and then you were having to pay $360 a month, and I'm guessing that's because the duplex wasn't being rented out?
Correct. It was in condition that was not letting it be rented out. Needed mechanicals and cosmetics and all those type of things.
Okay, so you agreed on a contract. You traded $3,500 for landscape and lawn services. And now, congratulations, you've got a house that needs work and is costing about $360 a month just as the payment to the seller, not including
Correct.
Other carrying costs, right? Were you having to pay the other
Correct.
Carrying costs too, like taxes? And
yeah, insurance? Taxes was included. I can't remember at this moment if insurance was or not, but I know for sure that taxes was included. It went
okay.
escrow.
All right. And then what did you end up in total putting into it, including the carrying costs, and then how much did you sell it for?
I believe we probably were somewhere in the area of $21,000 to $22,000 all in, and we ended up selling it to a cash buyer. I actually believe he was a retired NFL player from what my agent told me, or some type of retired pro baller, but we ended up doing a cash transaction for $20,000. So we ended up taking like a $1,000 or $2,000 loss, but with the experience gained from it, I would eat that any day.
So that was the first deal, and you
Correct.
Got a lot of experience from that. And then you loved that so much, you did a second deal.
I did.
What was the second deal?
I believe the second deal that I did, I brought in a local investor / mentor to me. I brought him in on a deal that later we found out we should have just wholesaled. Pretty much this deal was brought to me saying, hey, she's at $11,000 or $10,000, and I got her down to $9,000 cash to basically purchase a property that had a lot of options in the beginning. And I was thinking the best option would have been to flip it because the ARV was somewhere in the $60,000 range. So I'm like, hey, if we can flip this and make some money, then we could be all in maybe $31,000, $32,000 and double our money. We are taking a big risk being in a rough part of town, but big risk, big reward type of thing. So we got into that one, and it ended up becoming a nightmare from everything from our contractors kind of pushing us behind, delaying to the structure of the building on top of all these different building code ordinances the property had on it, which at the time I didn't do enough due diligence to know about. That ended up smacking us in the face, as well as having to put a roof, furnace, rebuilding staircasing, We had a little bit of mold remediation issue, you name it, steps, electrical. We kind of redid the entire house.
So you mentioned building ordinances. What came up?
What ended up coming up was a vacancy permit, since the establishment was vacant for so long and it had broken windows. So we had vacancy permits, and we also had some electrical inspections that were in the pool. So once they came inside, it kind of ramped up to be more drywall, framing, fire blocking. But at first, it was just a vacancy ordinance, which I learned pretty much to get them inside to see what you're doing. And then after that, they'll hit you with, well, you're going to need this, 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 and that.
And you mentioned afterwards that you partnered with a local investor, and I'd love to just hear the story of how you came to partnering up with him.
Yeah, so like I said, he's been more of a mentor as well, so he kind of knew my aspiration. So I was taking care of his landscaping at his primary residence, and I was kind of telling him about the deal that I had, and I'm like, look, we have different options. I was kind of like, hey, I haven't done a bunch of deals, which he already knew. So he's like, hey, man, I'll take a chance on you. Kind of like we're talking after a long day. I think we might have installed some trees and did some mulching for his property that day. So we were kind of in the backyard drinking a beer and kind of got the deal done after the beer. And just like, hey, I'll lend you the money that you need. Let's go ahead and get it done, man. Let's try and make some money. So it was a pretty easy sale on that one.
How much did he invest in that deal?
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if off the top of my head, 9 for purchase price, carrying and holding costs, I think we were somewhere around $34,000 to $35,000 all in.
Okay.
By the time it was said and done.
What'd you end up selling it for?
We sold that one for $37,000, not including realtor closing fees and stuff like that. So we end up actually taking a bath on that one. We end up losing, I think I said somewhere between $6,000 and $7,000, maybe a little bit more. We lost on that deal.
So take us back to when you had to break the news to your investor, and it's like, oh, not going to be making money. In fact, I think we're going to lose money on this. How's that conversation go?
That was a tough conversation, Joe. That was not only just an investor, but it was also a person that I considered a mentor, friend, who gave me a lot of great advice on growing my business and kind of getting out the way of my business for success. So that was one of those sleepless nights for like a few days, I would say, just on how to present this. So pretty much I just kind of called him and just thought, like, if I was in his shoes, what would be the best method that I could do and offer? So I pretty much just was as honest as I could. Look, I think we're at a turning point where I don't want to keep coming back to you for more money to sink in this bottomless pit, what it seemed like. I'm like, let me just do what I have to do to get this deal closed out and try and salvage what I can material-wise and resale and things like that to kind of help with the amount of money we were going to lose. I was upfront and said, like, look, we're going to lose money at this point, specifically him. I'm losing time. He's losing money, and both of those two don't go together.
Mm-hmm. So that was the second deal, and now you've done over 10 deals with no cash out of pocket. Tell us about a deal that's gone well.
Yeah, I would say my best deal thus far with no cash out of pocket has been a duplex in a nicer part of town. It actually was the ugliest house on the nicest street, basically. So I ended up acquiring the property for $38,000. I found the investor that I could offer them $300 per month, like as a flat fee. And originally, I think the payoff was 4 years. So he was making good return on his money. The property went in his LLC. So that's one of the ways that kind of littler risk. So pretty much that property was a duplex. So I had one tenant downstairs paying, I think, $800 a month. And the upstairs is where it needed the most work, but it had 4 bedrooms and 2 full baths. So I knew that the upstairs, if I could just get the upstairs rented, then eventually it would make good money because I could have rented upstairs for $1,100 to $1,200 a month. So my plan in that one was just go in, kind of light cosmetic overhaul, like downstairs once the tenant moved out. That didn't go as planned. She stopped paying rent, had to kick her out. Long story short, I end up calling my realtor one night. Look, I'm about $5,000 out of pocket, plus every night I'm up here doing something. And at that time, I wasn't like a contractor. I'm still not officially a contractor now, but I can DIY some project type of thing. So pretty much with that one, I end up just saying, hey, what do you think this is worth? A house up the street, this sold for $179 or $169. pretty much same specs, except it was a single family. And she's like, I don't know, Alex, let's just put it on the market and see. So we're going back and forth. I ended up putting it up for, I think, 77.9 or something in that range. I ended up getting not a full price offer, but a pretty good offer within 48 hours in the condition that it was in, and the contingencies were pretty low. So I ended up altogether end up netting, I think, about $35,000 off of that deal within 6 months.
Oh, hallelujah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And what deal number was that?
I believe that was somewhere between 4 and 5.
4 and 5. Okay. So the no cash out of pocket part, that's from what I can tell, it's from two different approaches. One is the lease option, and the other is partnering up with a private investors. Is that correct?
Correct.
And which one's your favorite option out of those two?
I think it depends on the scenario, Joe. I can't say I have a favorite, but depending on each scenario, as you know, would be different. But I like the aspect of land contracts, because you just still hold on to the asset. Like, it's almost like, in a sense, I can offer them saying, hey, I take over the property, you don't do anything, I default, I've been fixing it up, blah, blah, blah. So to them, it's a win-win. And for me, I can still have a property that once I pay off, I'll see the residual income afterwards of a buy and hold. So for me, that's kind of always been a win-win.
How's that conversation go when you speak to the owner for the first time about something that they most likely have no idea about?
Yeah, good question, Joe. That conversation usually goes there. It's still even entertaining, because usually on the first introduction of that, they won't even entertain it. But if they'll entertain it and not hang up on you, because that happens a lot, you have to be a little persistent. It pretty much goes as, hey, Ms. Johnson, this house, of course, as you know, already needs a lot of work. I'm in a position to put trade sweat equity, but not a lot of capital. Are you okay with just exploring the option of me taking over either A, your payments, or you being the bank to the property and I pay you monthly? On top of the monthly payments, I'll also pay you interest. So that usually gets them going a little bit, because I say, look, you still retain the property. If I default, I'll already sign a contract when we do the, when we record the land contract, stating that if I default, you automatically don't have to foreclose on me. I automatically give up all my rights. So I kind of put all the ball back in their court, as far as everything's on me to perform. I like to have it where pretty simple for them to get out of it. So that's always been a strong selling point. So after that, it's just after being persistent and seeing if you can come up with a number that makes sense.
How are you finding these deals?
In the beginning, I scoured Craigslist day and night. I've done Facebook Marketplace. A lot of people networking. I know a good amount of people just saying, hey, I want to buy houses, more the better. I'll look at anything type of approach. So I can't just say one place, but a little bit of everywhere.
When you say networking, what's a place that maybe isn't as obvious that you found someone, if there is one, for how you found the property via networking?
One of the most strangest places that I've actually acquired the acquired a property was going to get a truck loan. The lady in the office to acquire a loan, she actually knew of someone selling a property and put me in contact with them, and they ended up being a property in Dayton, Ohio. So that was probably the most strangest networking place, just kind of those talking gifts of gab type of thing.
How much did you make on that deal?
That deal, I put no money out of pocket again, and that deal, I end up netting between $7,500.
$7,500. How much was your truck?
Yeah. Truck was $18,900.
Boy, you almost got 50% off your truck just from that.
Right? I didn't even look at it like that, Joe. Good one.
Oh, that's great. Based on your experience, what's your best real estate investing advice ever?
Best advice ever is to, when this industry gets tough, when everybody is maybe not having your back or your side, just kind of always keep in mind your end game, and not one deal per se, but keep in mind where you want to see yourself and your family in the future and what avenues real estate can offer for you. I think that would be the best advice, because it's going to test you. Every deal will, but some deals worse than others. So you got to kind of look at a bigger picture than just one deal, because if it's just one deal that you're in, I don't think that this industry is for you.
We're going to do a lightning round. You ready for the best ever lightning round?
I'm ready, Joe.
All right, let's do it. First quick word from our best ever partners.
If you're a passive investor and want to learn more about Ashcroft Capital, the company I co-founded with my business partner, Frank, and in particular want to learn more about our strategy and how we think about the opportunities that we purchase, go to ashcroftcapital.com and click the strategy button above, and you'll be able to read through our thought process we use when we're purchasing multifamily properties. Are you interested in getting started in real estate syndication but don't know how? My friend Whitney Sewell is the host of the Daily Real Estate Syndication Show podcast. He interviews top experts in the industry to help you learn the cutting edge tools and strategies of the syndication business. You can find Whitney and his podcast at lifebridgecapital.com.
All right, best ever book you've recently read?
Recently read Rich Dad Poor Dad.
What's another mistake that we haven't talked about that you've made on a transaction?
Messing up on a contract before, sending in the wrong purchase amount on a contract and leaving out a zero.
Was that able to be resolved?
It was, luckily, with a good title company.
What's a deal that you've done that you're really proud of? Doesn't have to be the most profitable, but you're just proud of it.
I'm proud of the deal, actually, that I lost my money just because it tested my resolve and just the ability that I would not quit, not just in a monetary value, but the friendship that I was able to build with this person, because other deals that we're doing now is going to make us money. And other things we've done in the past has made us money because we've done different deals since that. So I would say that a second deal that tested everything, late nights, all that, was probably my most testing deal. Didn't make money, but I learned so much. And then the integrity of, I think, my name held a lot of weight.
Best ever way you like to give back to the community?
Currently what I'm doing is I'm starting to reach out and talk at different speaking engagements to the high school and different youth in the city of Cincinnati, trying to encourage people to look at and go for their dreams, and anything is obtainable. I didn't start with money, so don't let that be your excuse. And then also for young people or just anybody of any age looking to get into real estate, I try and trade time to answer phones or reach out to people that need my assistance and just try and help be a pure motivator for anything you can do. I feel all things are possible.
How can the best ever listeners learn more about what you're doing?
Right now I have a website being worked on. It's buyingcincinnatihouses.com, and you also can reach me at Facebook. It's Alex Holt, H-O-L-T is the name. I'm usually on there and easy to be accessible.
Great. And we'll link your Facebook profile to the show notes. Well, Alex, thanks for talking about your background, your story for getting started, as well as how you creatively put deals together. I mean, this is truly being resourceful and also looking at the long game, knowing that the relationships that you build along the way are what really matter, and approaching that accordingly, even when deals don't go right, doing what you did so that you're approaching it with integrity and building those long-term relationships. It's great stuff, and really appreciate you sharing that. It's inspirational as well as a good reminder. So thanks for being on the show. Hope you have a best ever day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Joe.
Are you interested in getting started in real estate syndication but don't know how? My friend Whitney Sewell is the host of the Daily Real Estate Syndication Show podcast. He interviews top experts in the industry to help you learn the cutting edge tools and strategies of the syndication business. You can find Whitney and his podcast at lifebridgecapital.com.